May I speak in the name of the ascended Christ. Today's great miracle, and it is a miracle, of Jesus ascending into heaven is one of a number of accounts in Scripture that we might find difficult to understand, difficult to get our head around exactly what happened. But there are lots of things in the Bible like that. This isn't the only thing it's hard to understand. How about Jonah being swallowed by a large fish? How did he survive that? How could he breathe in the belly of that fish for 3 days? And how about Noah? How could he fit all those animals on the ark? Except after the 8 o'clock service this morning, somebody tried to tell me how it was possible. But I'll leave that with you. How did Noah stop them all from killing each other and trampling all over each other? And how could he feed them all? In faith, believe. We don't question how. Today we celebrate the miracle of the ascension of Jesus in 2 readings that we have heard this morning. One of them says, while he was blessing them. And I just have this wonderful image of Jesus holding up his hands to bless his disciples. And just maybe for a moment, we can just please ask the Lord to hold up his hands and bless each one of us now. While he was blessing them, he left them and he was taken up into heaven. Then in Acts of the Apostles, we heard he was taken up before their eyes and a cloud hid him from their sight. And they stood and they looked up into the sky as he was going. Well, what does it mean that Jesus was carried up to heaven? And is heaven really up? Well, when I was at school, and this might be a Lancashire saying, if we were moving into the top class at school before we left, we used to say, we're going up into the top class. Then, did any of you used to say that? Yes. Then we'd have a holiday and we'd come back, and I was so excited because I was going up, and we went into the classroom next door. And so for ages I was disappointed I hadn't gone up, I'd just gone next door. And one of the vicars that I was licensed to tried to explain this as it was another dimension. So I'll leave that with you as well. What does it mean he was taken up to heaven? And if we had a large enough telescope, could we look into the skies and see heaven? Well, the ascension of Jesus is not space travel. Remember the Russian Yuri Gagarin, the first man in space to circle the world in 1961. When he came back down to Earth, some of you may remember that he said this, when I was up there, I looked and I looked and I looked, and I did not see heaven and I did not see God. But if we think about the ascension and the mystery of it, we can also think about the things all around us in our world that are also difficult to understand, hard to get our minds around. For example, I'm told that the galaxy we live in, the Milky Way, has somewhere between 100 and 400 billion stars, and at least the same number of planets. We can see images of it on the TV every time Professor Brian Cox comes on. That's a lot of stars, 400 billion. But I'm also told that there are at least, besides the Milky Way, where we live, there are 200 billion galaxies. And again this morning at 8 o'clock, somebody tried to explain to me all about that. There are more stars in the universe than there are grains of sand on all the Earth's beaches put together. And it's really hard to get my mind around that as well. But if we trust and believe in these scientists, the scientists that tell us these things, why wouldn't we believe in God's word? Believe in God's word even more. There are many miracles and stories in Scripture that we may not completely understand, but we don't have to, because we believe in them and we have faith in the word of God. We accept it all by faith. And once we accept all these things by faith, then we can spend our time and energy thinking about what they mean for us, instead of trying to decide whether they're true or whether they're not true. The accounts of Jesus living, dying, and rising from the dead get a lot of well-deserved attention at Christmas, Good Friday, Easter Sunday. And all these are the things that our faith is built on. But sometimes we overlook another crucial and mysterious account in the Bible, the ascension. The ascension of Jesus is just as important, if not more important, than all the rest. And why? Because the ascension, Jesus going back to his Father, completes the work of redemption on earth. If we remember, Jesus said from the cross, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Those words, "it is finished." Yes, at one time I used to think it was. His life had finished. His bodily function had finished. He was dying. But now I think his words, "it is finished," "it is finished," point to the fact that he is saying, "My work here is finished." In that moment, the work that God the Father had given him to do is finished. The work of redemption that his death brought, reconciliation with God, salvation, all are ours through Jesus Christ. He had done everything in the world that he came to do. And so he needed to return to heaven and take his rightful place, seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, with a purpose, so that the Holy Spirit could come. I am going to send you, Jesus said, what my Father has promised. Remember in the upper room when they shared the Last Supper, and Jesus said, reported in John's Gospel, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate or the Helper, the Comforter, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you, and he will be with you forever. And a few verses later, Jesus said, I came from the Father, and I entered the world. Now, I am leaving the world and going back to the Father. And after the resurrection, when Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene, he said to her, do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them this, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. The disciples have now seen Jesus for the last time. They believed his promise that when he had gone, he would send the Holy Spirit. But they had to wait. And we can see in foresight that at Pentecost, which is 2 weeks today, but they didn't know how long they had to wait. For Jesus said, stay in the city and wait until you have been clothed with power from on high. But whilst they wait, they're not going to sit around and do nothing. They're going to be productive. They're going to start their ministry speaking about all the things they had witnessed. And one thing they did, if you remember, was to choose Matthias to replace Judas as a disciple. They carried on with their work. And also the Bible says they all worshipped Jesus with great joy and continually praised God. The ascension is also about another promise. Jesus spoke of the promise that when the Holy Spirit came upon them, they would receive power. Power and authority, so that they could be witnesses to the ends of the earth. And that promise wasn't just for the disciples. It didn't end with the disciples. That promise is for us. That promise of power and the authority of the Holy Spirit is for us. And that power and that authority helps us to do things, to carry on doing the things that Jesus did while he was on earth. It helps us, like the disciples, to continue his mission. Jesus said, These are the words of Jesus in John's Gospel. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And all that's the power of the Holy Spirit. The prophet Daniel in the Old Testament had a vision of the ascension hundreds of years before it happened. We read about it in Daniel chapter 7, and it says, in my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. That's totally different to what Yuri Gagarin saw, isn't it? When he said he didn't see anything. And then it goes on, he approached the Ancient of Days, who is God, and was led into his presence. And there, in the presence of God, he was given authority, glory, and not just any old power, sovereign power. And all peoples and nations and men of every language will one day come to worship him. And his kingdom is one that will never, ever be destroyed. We often speak of the empty cross, the empty tomb on Easter Sunday, but we rarely talk and acknowledge the empty earth. The empty earth, because physically Jesus is no longer here. The empty cross tells us that Jesus died. The empty tomb tells us that Jesus rose again. The empty earth tells us he ascended to heaven. Pentecost Sunday is just 2 weeks away, and I'm sure we're going to hear more about that from Bruce. But because of the ascension, Pentecost happened. And we can then remember the pouring out of the Holy Spirit on the disciples in Jerusalem. But we don't know at this moment, have to wait till Pentecost. Because of the ascension, the Holy Spirit is with us every minute of every hour of every day, there for us to call upon. Jesus now exists permanently with both God and humanity. So why does the ascension matter? Because Jesus, the King, is on the throne. He has been given authority, power, and power, and God will get that glory. But the departure of Jesus, he tells us, is only for a while. He will return again, and he will come bringing in that power and that great glory and that authority as the Son of God. Bruce referred to Revelation earlier on, and there it says this. Sorry, it wasn't Revelation, it's in John's Gospel. And there it says this, and it's a verse that's used a lot at funerals. It says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you also may be. Where I am, there you also will be. But the question for us to ponder is this. What do we do while we wait on him?